they say in space. No one can hear you scream. So why won't they stop?
We can't contain it anymore. We're losing pressure!
You freeze, you hit a rock, explode, and dead.
You taste delicious.
No! No!
Takes the shotgun, smashes you against the head, and puts the knife straight into your throat. And starts cutting.
Floats away into the coldness of space, waiting for her air to give out.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Fandible.com role-playing podcast, and we're back with another episode of The Final Girl.
Murder!
This time, we are playing scientists on an asteroid space station.
Terrorist scientist.
Some of us are. Some of us are terrorists, some of us are freedom fighters, and some of us were press-ganged into service.
Some of us are a little bit country, some of us are rock and roll.
A little bit.
Okay, just a little bit country. I don't want to offend you, Midwesterners.
We've been experimenting with things that we shouldn't have. You'll see what sort of trouble we've gotten ourselves into. Mm-hmm. We have a cast of characters here, and we will be introducing them to you as they are chosen to play in scenes.
Do we want to... Okay, so that, we have this sense of what's going on, but we can always try. I don't know how well we will do. Mm-hmm. We're going to try the preview for the movie. Okay. David, you're always good at taking us there.
Okay, thank you, sir.
So, you know the story, so... Mm-hmm. Lights dim, audience goes silent, and suddenly in front of you...
This preview has been approved for appropriate audiences.
Rated R.
Outside the world you know... There is a place where dreams and knowledge go to horrible lengths.
We can't contain it anymore! We're losing pressure!
I told you, you will finish the experiment!
When money and desire reaches for the stars, but finds only... terror.
Do you know how much I've invested in this program? You are not giving up now!
I am going out of that airlock, whether you like it or not!
Watch out!
Tonight, space holds true horror in the station of no hope.
Okay, Penny, thank you. Okay, so...
trying so hard.
Okay.
Can you do better, dear?
No, it was amazing.
Yeah,
yes, right? it was great. It was amazing.
Okay.
Yes,
sincere,
I know you too well to know your lies.
That's all right.
So, Fandible fans, Penny is going to be joining us for his latest installment, mm-hmm. so she'll be laughing at all of us.
Okay.
No, laughing with.
Come on, Station of No Hope. Okay.
I like it.
You know, it was actually a joke on, like, you know, New Hope from Mass Effect, which is, mm-hmm. you know, okay.
I take it.
Okay. Thank you.
Very much.
Okay, so now the title.
Angela, so what do we do next?
All right. We do our three introductory scenes where no one dies.
Aww.
Okay. I actually have to role play.
I really want to kill somebody.
So everybody,
I have so many ideas.
Everybody, pick a character.
Who is going to be starting off framing scenes?
I'll frame it.
All right.
And I'll start framing, which means the narrator, Penny.
Yep, we're going to be taking turns mm-hmm. right around the table. There is no GM for this game.
You'll get used to it. Trust me.
Yeah. Okay. This one for me.
What is it?
I don't know. It's Beverly, the passionate doctor.
Of course, because that explains me on the inside.
Let your true spirit soar.
Yeah.
I am a fucking social butterfly. You have to let me spread my wings.
Anybody else? Okay.
I guess I'll do the Dr. Anthony Cutter, the enslaved scientist.
Okay.
Oh, the Station of Silence would have been so much a better name. Fuck!
Fuck! Fuck! Just Princess is another cast.
Ah, Station of No Hope wasn't that good.
I am Marshall Dunnevin, the janitor, mm-hmm. a.k.a. undercover law enforcement.
Okay. Penny, who do you want to play? Anyone? You just grab anybody you want.
Whoa, whoa, hands. Okay. Hands.
I like to touch everything.
Okay.
Kane, the authoritarian security head.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and do I get to pick one as well?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pick Duke, the eat shit and fuck pilot.
Make sure it's in that order.
Okay.
You know, it'd be so much clearer if it was eat shit and fuck off.
Oh, eat shit and fuck off. I like that. Okay.
That's pretty nice.
Okay. Nope, no, it's written down.
It's
it's
pencil on paper. You can't change that shit.
The first thing you see on the screen are stars. So many stars filling the atmosphere, showing a couple planets, passing Earth, passing Mars, passing Jupiter until we get further out until nothing but the asteroids. Asteroids colliding into each other. Explosions that are silenced because it's space. But through it all, suddenly there is light. Suddenly there is movement. And through the darkness of this dark corridor, you see a spaceship flying towards an asteroid, a large asteroid. Closer it creeps into the crevices. Closer and deep into it flies into the darkness. Lights snap open as it hits the headlights. We see crevices of rock, silicone, of all materials, some not even registered, well, even on the elemental table, until finally we hit metal that's been crafted by man. Sleek edges, doors opening, the sound of bulkheads twisting. The ship sinks deeper, 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 until finally it goes in. Scene change. Pressure is released as the door opens up. And suddenly, who do we got? The authoritarian?
Mm-hmm.
Who do we got here? Who do we got here?
Beverly, the passionate doctor.
Okay. Law enforcement?
No, the janitor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Kane, you push out the two scientists.
Oh!
Bloop, bloop.
Oh, oh. Ow. Ow. You push out the two sides.
Yes. So start acting. You're an authoritative security officer.
Get out of here. You're clogging up the space.
I'm sorry. The
science that we need's already been figured out, and that's in our weapons. What are you messing around with? Stop it with your freakishness.
We, Kane, you're exhibiting a rapid heartbeat. Elevated blood pressure. I'm just telling you that due to the change in pressurization, please remember to take your pills. That is important for the treatment of the rest of the crew.
The door snaps open, light shining through, and you see some security officers work by. A couple of them stop, clearly forming an area ready to secure the prisoner, which is our enslaved doctor.
I don't know why I'm here.
And of course, going through the back is the janitor, slowly mopping away at the floor, cleaning up after, you know, once you open the bulkhead, some things do get in, space dust and all that.
Get these clowns down to the brig.
Of course. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. You'll have the best
health care possible. I was in my house in Australia.
Australia's
worry.
The security officers grab Jesus, pulling him along. He's getting dragged away, looking in that panic. Your eyes meet the janitor, who's just watching.
What's happening?
What do you do, Angela, as you see this man being pulled away?
Marshall looks up for a moment, just very, very briefly makes eye contact, and immediately looks back down. Keep your head down, son.
Beverly walks next to the guards with hunched shoulders, but looking at a data pad. Look, this new scientist is going to need a lot of vitamin E. He's depleted. His iron is extremely low.
They look towards you, Kane, for permission.
Blah blah blah. I don't need to know. Do your doctor thing to them. I don't know about vitamin E.
Okay. They nod their head, finally turning back towards you, willing to listen now.
Okay, I just made some notes, and these are our requisitions from supplies for materials to make sure that the scientist can be the peak of efficiency. That is all.
Okay.
That's all.
You guys move out of the shuttle bay, the doors lock behind you as, of course, it starts, the screen slowly pans back towards the janitor, past the janitor towards some of the cargo bins. As you look closer to the cargo bins, you actually see that some of them have a side made of glass, and in that glass suddenly you see a hand press up against it before slowly sliding down.
If I may?
Yes?
As the camera pans by the good Dr. Beverly, the passionate doctor, as the security guards move away, and she is left standing there sheepishly in the hallway, she takes out a small aerosol shooter and unravels her arm and because she's addicted to jet.
Okay, and that I'm going to call that the scene. We've introduced those characters. Okay, everybody get, write down.
We need to now establish friendship, rivalry, and screwing.
Okay.
And what that is if you feel that you have a friendship with somebody, that's going to be beneficial. Or if you think you're an enemy to somebody,
that could still be beneficial.
That could be, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if you think that you're just using each other, as in you can either go either way, like a drug dealer and his, like, person. I don't hate the person I'm selling drugs to, but I'm not going to risk my life for him. But I don't want him to die because he pays me. It's kind of like that's what we mean by screwing. So I think, personally, Jesus, the doctor, and Kane clearly are enemies. You guys don't get along.
Yep. So you write down your card, rivalry. And then Kane. Oh, no, you're Kane.
Okay. Rivalry.
Enemy. So rivalry for me would be Kane. And I'm saying friendship would be the
general. What's your name?
Dr. Anthony Cutter, yes.
Yeah, Dr. Cutter. Cutler.
Who is a prisoner?
Yeah,
a slave scientist. And friendship would be with the janitor because you're the one that gave me a...
Sure.
Okay. Anybody else? Do you feel that anybody else has a relationship that's formed by this scene?
I think that, you know what? I think that, Beverly, the passionate doctor, is screwing Kane because she's using Kane because her position on the, shuttle or on the ship allows her to get more of the jet.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that Kane trusts Beverly because he's like, whatever, you're a doctor, do your thing.
Well, it has to be a mutual relationship.
But the screwing works. You don't care. You don't want to be friends with Beverly, but you're using her for her knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Or, alternatively, Kane and Beverly have a relationship.
Hmm.
Your choice. Like, can you just please pretend in a role-playing game to like me? Just once.
No, that's not the way Penny and I roll.
All right, so you both...
I show how much I like you by murdering you in the any way that's socially acceptable, which is in fictional role-playing games.
I kind of like the twist of affection, though.
Okay.
For whoever plays his characters. Okay. Would you be okay with
screwing.
That?
Okay, so you guys are literally screwing.
Yeah.
So screwing.
Screwing Kane and screw. And then for you, Kane, will be screwing Beverly. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
So we've... Give me your characters, because we can't play those again.
No, we could. You can pick them again.
Oh, okay.
Right. Actually, what was your character's name again? Sorry.
Marshall.
Marshall.
No, Marshall is the...
Oh, it's the title?
Yes, the title.
Oh, okay.
Like, so, Dunny. If you ever drop the act, then you're fucking Marshall Dunny.
Oh, okay. So, Dunny.
Dunny.
My mistake. I'm sorry.
All right. There you go.
Okay, so
also, I love Marshall.
I think we actually can't pick the same people twice.
I think we have to go through everybody, so we weren't getting a chance to have connections.
All right, so I'm going to grab Cutter, Dunny, the idol... the doctor... And Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from that people... Oh, Duke. Oh, I didn't play Duke.
No one played Duke yet.
It is
not required for every character to show up during the introduction scenes. So, could keep picking.
Okay, so you guys can pick... I didn't play Duke any, but who cares? Okay, Duke clearly was probably the pilot. So, what do you guys want? Just pick one now. Do whatever you want to play. I'm actually going to give Duke a chance.
Wait, what the fuck?
I guess do.
I was first I was the idealist doctor, and I'm the idealist physicist.
And now I'm the nervous engineer, apparently, which is... Let me see, what's this about?
Going to go for frequent
second
in command.
Both similar characters.
Who grabbed the wicked financier?
Me.
Of course you did.
Angela, you get to open the second scene?
Oh boy.
So what are the characters so I know where to kind of set us? We've got...
Duke, eat shit, and fuck off, pilot.
Okay.
I've got Gavin, the wicked financier.
Simon, the frequently teased second-in-command.
Andrew, the idealist physicist.
Lana, the nervous engineer.
Okay, we are going... The action has moved to the command center of the space station. We have... our pilot is here to report on the routine ferry mission of bringing in new talent. Of course, we have the second-in-command overseeing the rest of the station. We have one of our head physicists reporting on how our research is going, and our engineer is reporting on if everything is running smoothly. I'll leave it up to you whether things are going well right now.
The clopping of Duke's boots can be heard, even though it's against uniform. He always wears those cowboy boots from the late 19th century. You don't even know how he got them, but you hear him minutes before he actually gets there. The door opens up, and he's smoking a cigarette, once again, against regs.
And space only... people can only hear your cowboy.
he's smoking a cigar, and he's like, you should have seen... Hey, boss man, or second pissant. You should have seen the guy piss himself when we took him.
Excuse me. I'm going to have to, thank you, take that. No, we
are not
going to...
Do you know how much it costs to run the air recyclers extra to accommodate your dirty
God,
air?
I'm sorry. Do you know how much it costs to actually get someone willing to smuggle one of the top scientists out of the UN's special fortress? Okay, I'd actually fly in, get him, and shoot that little boy. His little boy? Shit, that's gonna cost you extra, sons of bitches.
Look, we certainly appreciate everything that you do here, but you must understand that.
Gosh, I love gravity.
It's terrible.
sir.
Yes.
I came to report about the what's happening. That's my job.
Yes, I'm absolutely ready for you. Yep.
Yeah, because I couldn't get to the main officer, so I had to come to you.
Okay. That's my log right here. Okay.
All right. There's I noticed a significant drain. I checked all the other power sources. I can't really find it. So
telling me that we're not running at peak efficiency?
No, there's something draining extra power, but I can't find it.
So something's costing us extra money.
Hey, would you
Duke something Smith's, else is costing us extra
Duke
money?
Turns his head spitting right into the physicist's coffee cup, and he looks towards the financier, and he's like, "Listen,
did you see that? It flew perfectly in an arc, as if it was on."
I don't give a shit. Listen. I've been told I'm going to get paid, and I'm going to get paid double, goddammit, or I'm going to go to the UN and show him the little map you gave me back to this little...
Duke, yeah, very what? Well, you know the protocol, and you have your contract. If you're simply having a difficult time understanding your legal parameters, I'm sure that we can have one of the juniors walk you through your contract again. Anyway, we have an energy problem here to
address. You're right. There's a problem with energy.
You're right. There is an energy problem. Yeah. I'm actually, he's slapping the second in command across the face.
Oh.
And then he's taking a step back, wiping his jaw, and say, the energy of me giving a shit about your problems. I'll be in my ship. You transfer the goddamn money. And he holds up a little remote. He's like, or I press this goddamn button showing at the UN where we're at. I'll be waiting. You got 2 hours. Don't fucking tempt me. And he just turns around, lights up a cigar, and walks out.
Doctor, we'll need some tranquilizers. Please arrive.
Right. So, power surge?
Power surge, which I believe is probably important, but I must say, due to the reactors and the gravitational shifters that we've installed on the ship, I want to say that there has never been a more ideal circumstance to conduct these experiments than this station itself. There is never...
Ideal means it's easier and thus more financially sound, correct?
Ideal beyond your wildest dreams.
Hold on. What is the nature of this ideal situation if we are having our energy... There's so many things. Are you telling me that you are the one draining our power source right now?
No.
That would be against regulation if that was you.
Yes, I know.
Let's have a look into that. Where's my checklist?
The tension of the metals, of the alloys that compose this enormous station are ideal. The pressure outside and within is ideal. The gravitational pull from our great sun's soul is ideal.
The drain?
I am not an electrician. I'm telling you why we are all right.
Andrew, please, step down here. We're trying to determine a situation. In engineering, where is this power drain coming from?
I don't know. I know something. There's more power being drained than is accounted for with all the experiments.
If we could call a general meeting, if we could have every program director and lead officer, please come to the bridge.
We need to establish an order rather than make guessing. If I may,
Simon, just very quickly, with all due respect to all here, if we deter from our mission one iota, we would cost humanity a grave amount.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can't really do that without power.
Our power is not... It is your job to increase the power, to conserve the power. We must move forward with our plans. Our plans could save...
And stay under budget.
And stay under budget. Because our plans could save the human race.
Yes, but will the plans satisfy the board? Anyway, all program directors and lead personnel report to the bridge. We're going to assemble a few teams
Perhaps you should say it into the radio so that they can...
hello?
And I think that is very close.
That was amazing.
All right.
I'm going to go to the men's room real quick.
First, we have to write relationships.
What's the pilot's name?
Duke.
I believe Duke and Gavin clearly have a rivalry.
Right?
Definitely.
Gavin?
Yes.
Okay, who else wants to be enemies?
I don't think the doc really had anything going on.
Okay.
I don't think your character much cares for the second in command.
So, let's say you have a rivalry. So, what's your name?
Simon.
Simon, and my name's Duke.
Okay. I could probably say I have a friendly relationship with the second in command because she's the only one that didn't treat me like I was worthless.
Okay, yeah. Friendly.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a serious concern.
Okay.
Is friend?
Friendship, yes. And, yeah, rivalry, I don't think anyone cared enough that
and
much.
And what's your character's name?
Lana.
Right, the nervous.
The nervous engineer, yes.
Let's see. I don't know. I could. I need David back more, but I could see something like maybe a screwing between Gavin and the doctor because it's like, yes, I like what you're saying. Ooh, you're costing me money.
Yes,
I like where we're going, but don't cost me money.
Nice, I like it.
So I'm going to propose that.
How shall we kill so many?
Would it be fair to say that Duke is some sort of freelance contractor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a smuggler, I say. So.
Yep, Han Solo.
Yep.
So.
Without Except the heart of evil. Gold. Without the heart of gold, yes.
All right, so what's the third thing that we do?
It's one more introductory scene.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
David,
the murder happens.
What did I do?
I propose that Gavin and the doctor have screwing. Because it's like, I like what you're saying. Ooh, don't cost me money.
Okay.
I like what you're saying, but...
I like it.
So what was the doctor's name?
Not the doctor, but the physicist.
Yeah.
Okay. Couldn't tell you.
Now you can have anybody that you want.
You were Andrew the Idealist.
Correct.
Physicist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to write down...
Roger that.
Okay, who wasn't picked yet?
We haven't had the nervous, the junior officer.
Did we have the junior? No. That was Simon I'm thinking of.
What?
Never mind.
Okay. We're missing one.
He's writing it.
Okay.
Oh, no, we're still missing one after that.
No, that's not it.
I think we're looking for Kane.
No, wait, there it is.
Okay, great. Ready? Ready. Okay, now you get to pick for the third scene. This is the scene that's happening. It could take place right after that scene, or it could take place a day or two afterwards. It doesn't have to be, right after.
Who's this poor soul?
So Penny, it's your choice of what's taking place right now in the scene.
Okay.
No one's dying yet, but this is basically the scene leading up to when shit starts hitting the fan. So what do you want us to take place?
Well, it might be. It might depend on who we're playing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we get to choose that first.
Do okay. Narrators don't take a card, right?
Yes, narrators do.
Yes, you do.
Because Angela was a narrator last time and she played.
Yep. You're not so much narrating as setting the scene.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be really hands-on, like Billy was directing a lot of NPCs, or like I was, and it was just, we're starting here, play from this.
A la Fiasco.
Yes.
Which you will play eventually, maybe perhaps.
Well, I played it at recess.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
Yes, of course, because it is the party game before
playing. I played it with Brett, who wrote this game.
Okay, so are we got them all?
Yep.
Everybody has a character.
Yep.
Okay, yes. Who are we who's playing? I'm playing Kane, the authoritarian security head.
Andrew, the idealist physicist, returns.
Marshall, Dunnyvin, the janitor.
I'm Nancy, the reluctant junior security officer.
Duke, eat shit and fuck pilot.
What? So it sets the scene. Where are we at now?
As the ship continues its path through space.
We're in an asteroid.
Lights have been dimmed.
We're in a station.
Life support is still running at full, but many of the other resources and scientific projects undergoing the ship have been put at half energy, and particular protocols for everyone's safety have been put in order, and hopefully everyone is following those. And the problem has been identified. Space rays. Not anything like the normal manta ray of Earth, but similar in appearance, seem to have attached themselves to several locations on the ship. They're not sure if the space rays themselves are pulling energy or if they're merely blocking the solar panels. Either way, there will be a need for several teams throughout the ship to address the problem and to find out how to best deal with light blockage, vampirism of the system, or chaos from within.
Is it a meeting going on right now? Is that why we're all being summoned or something?
Well, I leave it to somebody to inject with the line, and then I will decide arbitrarily which team it is that we are all a part of.
Kane, the door opens up, and Kane throws Duke forward on the ground in front of everybody, and he says, I got the cutthroat.
A kick to the ass usually isn't payment in my line of business, asshole.
We'll get paid, but we might need your worthless hide.
Ugh,
I found him.
20% extra.
Nancy takes out a stun pistol, which works on energy rays and actually sound, and points it at what's your character's name?
Okay, Duke.
Duke on the ground. Just calmly stand up, Duke.
He slowly stands up, staring at you. You don't have it in you, little one.
Kane. Hello. Hello, teams.
Hello.
So I've made a selection. Duke, Nancy, junior security, Kane, Andrew, and janitor, oh my goodness, oh, this sounds horribly racist, what is their name? Marshall! I need Marshall Dunny.
We're just gonna scratch out Marshall right now.
Oh, Dunny, oh my god, I'm gonna have to talk to HR about that. I need you all to suit up, you are going to be leaving the ship together, and I expect you to be kind and nice to each other and whatnot, and do something about those space rays.
Why the hell are we bringing the janitor?
Because they clean things.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. He falls back as
Duke looks at Nancy like, looks like we're going to be working together, honey.
Duke gets punched by Kane across the face. And he looks towards Nancy. He's like, next time he says something like that, you hit him. Jesus Christ, girl.
Go ahead. Hit me. I might like it.
Watch your mouth.
I'll
break it.
We all need to work together because we are now a team. Teamwork.
You're playing the physicist.
I mean, physical action isn't so much my place, but because this is vital for the success of our mission to better mankind.
I'm just gonna put on my fucking suit. I'm done.
Look, motivation. Motivation right there! Look at the power of teamwork.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Stutter! Don't really stutter. Jesus Christ. You're worthless.
Him, technically.
You're worthless. Him.
Okay, let's just get this shit done. I'm done with you, all of you. Okay,
so, absolutely, Kane starts putting on his suit as well. He Yeah, he pretty much occasionally stops to for like shove more like some shove more of your suit on you, and pretty much making it known. It's like, we need your ship to help patrol the area outside. So get in your ass in gear.
Dunny drags a bag out and pulls out of it five what look like sort of weird retracty meat hooks. We usually use these on smaller space rays, but it's what we have.
Kind of piss at, but fine.
Is something so lethal looking really what we
Jesus
use
Christ, Doctor, just get in the goddamn
ship. Are you
kidding
me? Space wraiths? Space wraiths? Those things can kill a man in 5 seconds.
Give me your gun.
There you go.
He takes the gun and he shoots in the air.
Jesus!
And he's like, get in the goddamn vehicle now. Get in the goddamn field. You guys are going to clean.
That's my gun. That's my gun.
Okay. Yeah.
You gave me
your own gun. You're a goddamn genius.
You're my captain. Okay. Of course.
He heads to the pilot seat.
Okay. Every one of you, get in there now. I got better shit to do than clean up.
Okay.
He flips the gun over and gives it back to Nancy.
That's probably have a janitor.
Yeah. Bring the janitor, doctor, enjoy the little scientific observation. Make sure Duke doesn't pull one of his bullshit maneuvers like he did earlier. I'll be in my office. If anything happens, tell me. And Kane's walking out. Mm-hmm. He opens the door to the hallway. The lights kind of flicker as they start draining again. He slams his fist against the wall. The lights turn on. He walks out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. All right. And scene.
Nice.
Okay. So,
I think that Nancy and Kane are actually friendly.
I think there's a
really obvious like don't
Makes
make
sense.
Me.
They're on the same team.
Yeah,
it's a tough love sort of situation.
Well, that and I kind of feel like there was a theatrical aspect to what he just did, like pointing the gun at Nancy, like don't make me fucking do this, please. Would you just grow a spine, please, please, please?
And I'm just gonna say, I'm gonna assume Kane.
So what's that, friendly?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So obviously a rivalry there.
She's like his
protege. Duke is a dick.
Duke is a monster.
Did you miss his epitaph? that's all eat shit and fuck off is not friendly.
Okay, doesn't really care about the passionate doctor.
It's like an evil dean.
Yeah. And, the janitor, I don't think he really cares enough to have
janitor
an
didn't do very much again.
Yeah, so,
janitor's not looking too good. I'd say the physicist didn't really make friends with anybody. Mm-hmm.
Alright. Okay, so this is what we do. Give us all the cards, and basically we get to choose the five cards that,
have the fewest number of relationships.
Okay, so fewest number of relationships, and these people are screwed.
Oh, yeah.
Andrea's one.
Alright, ready? Mm-hmm. So, Andrea, the idealistic physicist, she only has one.
Mm-hmm. Andrew.
Nancy, she only has one.
Mm-hmm.
Janitor only has one.
So many ones.
Addicted to Jet, screwing Kane. Beverly only has one. Actually has two.
Mm-hmm.
They have two. 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 Couple. Several.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we have our four.
So we need five.
Oh,
so
you need five. Oh, okay.
So,
two.
So all those twos would come in next.
So do we make an argument for which two
gets Nope, we're just, the four that have the fewest need to be chosen, and then you'll be able to choose from the twos as well.
Okay, I'm going to say, these guys aren't the dead. These guys aren't, these guys
are you aren't. Sure it's five? I thought it was four. Because I remember the last game it was, we killed Bob and then...
We have five players. Because
the killer is going to not have a character this time.
Yeah, so it's just four.
Yeah, so it's these four.
And they don't have to all die in the same place.
Okay.
No, but they do all have to die.
They will.
All four of these characters are getting... Right.
What do we have?
To say how they die.
Okay, guys.
No. David gets to say how they die because he is the killer.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, Dunnyvin, Andrew, and Nancy
die. It's going around in a circle. So we're going to take
Beverly.
Beverly,
at some point, also has to die in this scene. We don't have to have them in the same room, clearly, because these guys are going out in space with Duke.
Okay.
And these guys are going... Mm-hmm. She's going to be probably in a lab somewhere.
Okay.
Well, that's the point of the rift opening.
Yeah, okay, ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, David, you're the one. You're first blood.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good. Oh, I'm sorry. So, guys,
we need to choose.
You guys get to choose. I'm going to pick Beverly.
All right, let's see here. I am going to pick... No, I don't do that. All right. I'm going to pick the idealistic physicist. Oh, sorry. Prismer?
You pick one.
Oh. Yep. Who do you want to play to their death? All right. I am back to playing Dunny Vin, the janitor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not Nancy, the reluctant junior security officer.
If okay. I may set the scene?
Of yes. course.
Okay. So, Dunny, floating outside in the void of space. The other members of her away team are drawn to the outside of the metallic ship that is ingrained into the larger asteroid via maglev boots. Dunny has deactivated his mag boots and is floating away towards a relay station, long thought deactivated due to energy concerns. However, that was never true. Dunny just made it so because it is his one way to contact the rest of his law enforcement agency to report back on the terrorist activity of this space station.
May I have to say one thing?
By all means, please. This is an open table.
For a second, as Beverly's walking down, walking through the thing with Nancy's not part of the crew. Mm-hmm. She's talking to Nancy. She's like, "Oh no, the energy. No, as long as these relay stations are all deactivated, we should still be able to run the experiment. We should be fine." And she's just going to walk into the lab.
Brilliant.
Okay. Back to you.
And can I also add in something?
Of course.
And as soon as you step through within the lab, is actually Andrew, the idealist physicist, just going. Comment. What's the character's name? Sorry.
Andrew, the idealistic physicist. No, this is outside.
Hmm? Was, am I outside? Is yes. he outside? Yeah, oh, then never mind. Yeah. Forget everything I've just said. Yeah. Because I had another idea. But never mind.
Nancy, the junior security, is outside too.
Yeah, she's yeah, with okay. you. Yeah, you guys are on the ship.
That's really weird. It's as if you're outside the ship and you're going to die.
Oh, great. Actually, the only person outside who might survive is Duke. Oh, great.
Awesome.
All right. Sorry.
So anyways, Dunny... floats and races using a retractable spear with a umbilical cord attached to his suit, pulling towards the thought to be defunct relay station. Now the relay station, due to the size, the sheer immensity of this station being built within an asteroid that is kilometers long, the space station is no mere satellite dish. It is actually the equivalent of a 3-story building. And he floats into the darkened doorway.
Guys, I'm not entirely sure I'm on the right track. Fixing relay stations wasn't really part of my job description.
It's fine. You'll figure it out. Now, are you on mouth 1 or 2?
2, confirming I'm on 2.
You're off by
5. Dunny knows that this might be his last chance due to the solar array to actually contact the rest of his contacts in law enforcement.
Cut scenes back to some security officers dragging the Cutter, the enslaved scientist, in, and Beverly's saying, "We're going to start the experiments now. Get the power reading start everything, get everything going up."
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes,
thank ma'am. You. And she's running off. She's like, "Oh, Jesus, where's Nance? I'm going to check I'll check the engines myself. I'll check the array myself."
Do you really think it's a good idea, ma'am? We could really.
I'll be fine, she says as she walks towards the dark, and as she, the door closes behind her into the array room, she pulls out another jet, mm-hmm. and she injects it into herself. Mm-hmm. Go back to you guys.
Okay.
Confirming, I am at mouth 2. Confirming this is where I'm supposed to be.
Do you see the ray?
I'm sorry, it's awfully deep in here, breaking up. I can't... working... click. Okay. And Dunny is now using this opportunity to use the relay mm-hmm. to relay information mm-hmm. back to the law enforcement.
Okay. Now, the relay is an old, old construct. No longer is it a simple, because it's in the void of space, and no sound can escape. It is actually a sequence of textile points in which you place your hands on and then speak, and the vibrations through your suit relay into the relay.
Interesting.
You can never remove your hands, however.
This isn't going to be bad or anything.
Dunny,
who displays a surprising amount of dexterity for a humble janitor, is able to find the correct contact points speaks it, you know, into the suit. This is Marshall Dunny Vin seeking to contact the United Nations Federation of Planets.
Confirmed. Marshall Dunn Vin. Placing call now.
Dunny. And behind
Dunny.
Her...
Dunny. I put that in with HR five times. Dunny.
But behind Dunny, a blue light illuminates the back wall where a stash of weapons has been kept by Dunny in order, in case of an insurgency or the last case resort. And lights up the entire wall, and due to the fact there's no gravity, and the curvature of the ceiling and over to the wall in front of Dunny, there are rifles and air guns. And most importantly, electricity guns that fire a low-velocity, straight-range target that connects an electrical source, which is very useful in zero gravity and void of space. Tamagotchi.
Yes! And then it's time for feeding. Gotta play with them.
Come in! Dunny, come in, come in. This is Home Central here in Houston, Texas. Come in, Dunny. What you got for us?
Home Central, the things are getting strange out here at the station. We're suffering power drains that we're not sure of the exact origin of them. There do seem to be a space rays problem. But I'm on a team that is attempting to deal with that issue. The security team did just bring in a new physicist today.
Come back. You said that there are space rays? Over?
Yes. Larger than anyone on this station has encountered before. They're a little spooky. Because they're huge. Unsure whether they are blocking our solar receptors or if they are actually leeching off of our power supply. Over.
That's 10-4. Really strange to hear, Dunny, because space ray mating season is on the other side of the galaxy right now, Dunny. We're gonna have to check our computers.
Cut back to the lab that is testing the portal.
Beverly is looking at her panel as she injects another jet into her arm. She's so nervous. This is really important that she's able to show some success, and that's why she, of course, was totally okay with abducting the doctor, because this was science. This was supposed to make it all work. So she's leaning against the array as the power is starting to read out on the screen, and it's working. Something is starting to pierce through the fabric of what's this energy reading that's suddenly something begins as if something's trying to scan through the system and this is another transmission going through. She's like, well, no.
And cut to Andrew and Nancy outside of the space station, finally getting to the first of the space creatures that have latched onto the solar rays.
Man, I really don't feel like dealing with space rays right now.
Really? We're having this conversation right now?
I mean, look, if you get the hook and the gill the right way, you can just, like, peel them off and they just swim off.
No, these are kind of big. We're gonna have to go full and whole hog. I'm sorry.
Oh, God,
you're not
okay.
One of those, like, space environmentalists, are you?
No, look, they're technically... Look, I'm just
cut
gonna,
back
like,
to Nancy's when... years in space, Peter.
No, I mean, it's just they're, like, a little bit in danger. I'm just gonna, like, look, they're really gentle. I'm just gonna, like, lean into the mouth here and maybe if I...
Okay, so you see the space rays, and their giant solar wings are flapping against the outside of the hull. And there, you know that they actually have tubes that stick into the hull and drain energy directly from the central power source. They are mostly harmless towards actual humans or anything that's not a giant space station. But these are enormous, and something you notice is that they have spikes. Much like how you will notice that fish sometimes have spikes or gills that are sharpened.
The same thing with his rays. Man, the penises on these things are really fucked.
So noted. And back to Dunny.
Yes, I'm not a... I'm no space xenobiologist. I don't know anything about mating seasons. I'm just reporting the facts of what's going on the station. Really, I think you should be more concerned about the scientist that they've kidnapped.
And over. Dunny feels a bit of a tap in the back of his head. But looks around and it's nothing.
Come back, Dunny. We understand that you have some remorse about your position up here, up there on the planet, or on the space station, when you have so much that you left behind here on Earth. We understand that it was a wife and a young son that you left down here. Is that true, over?
Indeed, Dunny Jr.
Well, we're sorry to report, Dunny, that I have to give you the bad news that... Dunny Jr. Is hoping you never come back. Over.
Move, boss. I'm sorry. What is relevance of is what relevance is this to the mission? Over.
All the relevance in the world, Dunny. It seems that your wife has moved on and is actually most likely dating your friend George.
I hate you, other dad. I hate you. George is my dad now!
And due to the probability of statistics, we can accurately tell you that your boy George, or your boy Dunny Jr., is going to move on to be a high school dropout and a drug addict. And
no,
we're sorry to report.
No, you cannot predict something like that. The boy's 6.
The boy is 6, but one day he'll be 16. And one day he'll be 26. One day he'll be 36. And by one of those times, Dunny, he'll realize exactly what kind of a dropout loser of a father he had. Over.
Who? HR gave me pills that taste like candy.
Who is this? Who am I speaking with?
Well, Dunny, I think it should be obvious. And the vid goes out. And Dunny is left with a...
Houston.
A reflection of Dunny against the blackness of the dead monitor, and behind him he can see a an umbilical cord connected to the back of his head, drawn all the way back into an pulsating mass where the door used to be into the space station, and in his head says, "This is you, Dunny, and I'm afraid this is what you really want."
You taste delicious.
No! No!
And Dunny is dead. And Dunny is pulled into the warm embrace of the disgusting creature.
Mm-hmm.
We have a system.
Actually, we're supposed to keep our cards count up at the end.
Fuck that.
Well, just keep both halves. And... Oh, Dunny, okay. We hardly knew. Yeah. All right.
You had such potential, but you died.
Oh, Dunny is so horrible. Okay, so out and back to the lab.
Right, Beverly is frantically typing up her codes as she tries to figure out what's going on. The rifts are the power drain. Max, what's the sun introduced? More the basically the containment's all gone. Mm-hmm. The containment that they had set into place to keep the rifts from just scattering all over the place is gone because something was draining the power more than... it was one of those goddamn relay stations, probably. As she moves towards the door, she gets to it, and suddenly she feels forward in the door that had been there, mm-hmm. just the wall, and she turns around, she looks to the left, and she sees the door was actually there, and she remembers it. Some part of her remembers, for no reason whatsoever, that they had considered putting the door there at one time. And suddenly, she hears the relays start to sizzle and smoke, and she looks towards the generator.
And the generator starts to spark, but actually starts to glow in these immense different, in these illuminated colors, a spectrum of the rainbow. Red is a warning. Yellow is danger. Blue is catastrophic. Green is okay. But they all come out in one majestic blast, sending
Beverly
a mix of information that makes no sense whatsoever. And then the lights go out.
Come in, Beverly.
Well, oh, damn!
She's digging her thumbs right into her eyes.
This is Dunny. Welcome to the fold.
Okay. Now hold on to those pieces, yes. Because apparently that's important.
Yes.
So, meanwhile, outside, with the space ray, which is supposed to be so docile.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's a weird procedure. I know, but I grew up on, like, this space farm, and generally speaking, if you reach in through the mouth gills and press on the prostate, it will retract the penis, and generally they'll let you climb out of their mouth before flying away, and you just push on it like...
And the mouth opens up? Like, no problem.
And then you gotta just kind of...
Are you...
Wiggle it.
Is this happening?
And the Donnie, lady... is this hap... Donnie? Come back. This is Donnie. Over.
Okay.
Yeah, Donnie, how you doing? Apparently Nancy's gonna climb inside a ray.
Everything is as it should be. Over.
What? Listen, how you doing with the ray on your side?
I could use your help.
You don't need to use those hook things that the janitor passed out. You climb into the mouth and you just press on the prostate.
The ray flies away as you speak.
Whoa!
Just easily. Just okay. Let's go. And you notice that all of the rays let go, in one beautiful, majestic motion, like dolphins in the ocean, just fly away.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, how much oxygen's in my suit?
And you look down into the hole that the ray left, and it's about person size. It's huge, but the ray was huge. And you notice that something is shimmering down in the hole.
I am not going to touch that.
You're kind of flying away, currently.
No, she's not. She didn't climb in.
Oh, she didn't. No, she didn't. Oh, okay, never mind.
I am not. You should. You do that.
You should do.
Investigate that. I'm not going to.
You look
to touch
down
that.
And you notice that it's actually it looks like one of the pieces of the scientist's data logs. Absolutely valuable data logs that is laying down at least 16 feet into this hole.
What is that doing there?
Well, it looks like it's maybe part of a ventilation system as it spurts gas towards you.
Oh, you've got to be. I bet that was Stevens.
Can you safely pull that out?
Well, we're going to have to try this important data in there.
This is Dunny. I found some weird stuff in the ventilation shaft while I was returning back. You got anything else? Over.
Okay. Yeah, apparently someone left the data pad down there.
I just got contact from HQ. We got to get that stuff ASAP because they are depressurizing, and we got to get all this stuff inside.
What was the data pad doing at the end of
Nancy's
penis penetration shaft?
Nancy's receiver cuts out.
Okay. Yeah, I'll
and
grab.
She just yells into her glass dome.
Okay. Andrew looks down, getting ready to jump down. I'll take care of it. We got to get this data as soon as possible.
Nancy, watch your six over.
My 6 o'clock.
And,
Andrew.
Andrew disappears into the shaft, and there is a rumble as he is torn apart. In different, phases. Andrew.
Really should have seen that coming.
So sad, Andrew.
Okay.
And, Nancy looks around, and she is alone.
And she looks into the shaft.
And there is a tap on the side of her head. And she awakes. There is a moment where she cannot conceive of being awake.
I can't conceive of what's going on.
It feels numbing and pleasant, as if you were asleep for a very long time that you desperately needed. And when she awakes...
I don't really want to wake up.
When she awakes, there is a tendril of flesh that is disconnected from her head and is going back to the asteroid that is hundreds and hundreds of feet away.
I don't even really want to address this or think about it.
And she floats away into the coldness of space, waiting for her air to give out or her suit opens.
Well, fuck going out horribly. Let's see, which way hurts less? I remember studying this in...
All right, that's it. Sorry, I hope that didn't take too long.
It was great.
There's a lot of people that needed to die.
Okay, yeah. Murder happens, guys. Murder happens.
All right, who's next? Who's you? I don't know, but who's playing who?
Hey, where's the characters? Okay.
Yep, go there.
Hey, so everybody, what's next, Ange?
Now we just start doing standard scenes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
gonna go to the men's room real quick.
Oh, my God.
Everybody choose a character. I'm going to choose the, I'll play Cutter.
Fuck it. I'm going to play Duke this time. All
right.
Give me one at random.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Cutter was who exactly?
The Doctor.
The Doctor? Okay.
Yep.
The Slave Doctor. Duke is Duke. You are?
Simon.
Simon. All right.
He's ECOA.
He's the killer.
I'm the killer. I'm going to murder one of
them. Oh, wow. So now we're all now, killing until we're all dead?
I can't remember. Do I have to pick who dies and then we do the cards? Or?
Nope. We, well,
You give us all, basically, you run us through a scene, and if you want to kill one, like, you don't need to make sure, I mean, you know.
If when the killer decides that the murdering begins, everyone draws cards.
Oh, okay.
So you can choose a target first, but... Especially since it should generally be we're all in the same area. Mm-hmm. It could be like, well, someone's going to die.
Okay.
So we all have to choose cards.
But we don't all need to be in the same area. Because, like, right now, Duke's in his own ship.
Duke's in his own ship. And you guys... I'm going to say... And who do you pick?
Yeah, pick someone.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got? Lana.
Engineer, the...
Wicked financier. Oh, fuck yes.
Oh, yeah. Right,
cool.
This is my guy.
All right.
Are
you ready?
All right. Nice. All right, so...
And you're actually... Cutter.
Hmm?
As a Cutter.
Okay. Duke.
Simon.
Gavin.
Second in command.
All right. Simon, Gavin, and Cutter.
So all the lights in the place went out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, you were there during the experiment, and as you said, as he brilliantly described, all the lights immediately started going out all across the facility. Duke.
Is my ship affected by the power drain?
Mm-hmm. Your ship currently is not affected by a power drain.
Fuck yeah, it's not.
Okay.
Duke, don't run no second-rate ship.
Okay, I will say this, though. You don't have enough power to leave the station. You wouldn't leave until you got paid, so you stayed there for a couple of hours. But essentially, you tried calming the other three people on your team. No response. You looked around the area, nothing. But as you start heading back, you start noticing...
Fucking petty scientists.
As you start heading back towards the docking bay, you start noticing strange flashes across different sections of the space station, something you've never really seen before. And you start slowly entering
fucking
back
scientists.
In. You start entering the facility. You three. Mm-hmm. Actually, quick question. Did we establish if there were other people on the station?
There's a lot of people.
They're smocks.
Yeah. There are red shirts.
Okay, I just want to be 100% sure. If we're
I would say that you are free to kill as many red shirts as you want.
Okay, just
but only
don't go
one...
into detail, clearly. I mean, the details are for the main guys.
Okay. Okay, then I'm going to rephrase what I was just going to say because I want to kill you in so many different ways. Basically, the doors immediately open. And as you enter through, you notice something odd. Silence. Usually there's people there to greet you and a couple of security officers there to make sure you don't do anything stupid or something you deserve to do. but there seems to be odd silence. And as you enter through, you go out of the docking station and into one of the hallways, you immediately notice what appears that the walls were once gray and metallic seem more colorful than they should be. More flash, like someone could put a nice sheen across them.
Who's the shit for brains that's been redecorating?
Okay. And you're walking forward in that direction. You guys start hearing... You guys are also we're in the same room?
I guess we're in the main laboratory.
You were all in the main laboratory.
Yep. Okay. I'm watching from an executive glassed-off office.
With the second in command?
Yes, correct.
Okay. I'm, it's dark, so suddenly I'm calling out. It's like, what happened? What happened to the power, guys? Not that I give a shit, but what happened? Hello? Shit. He's Cutter is moving around, fishing around, and he does end up finding like a Bunsen burner or something that they've used before. It's actually a little bit more, it's not flames, it's actually kind of a laser light. And he turns it on, and it kind of gives a red glow.
Okay.
That gives it a little bit of a hint of a light.
Okay.
Kind of almost useless, but enough to, he's not going to kill himself.
Simon, I am in darkness. I demand you find light.
Do I have to repeat myself?
Have you spoken to engineering?
I found my own light.
Alright. Anyway, as you're searching with the light of the Bunsen burner along with them, so you start hearing a noise off in the distance. You actually listen to what you can hear, a voice. It's actually Stuyvesant. He's one of the other security officers in the area. But he seems to be talking to somebody.
I'm trying my comm. Is anybody there? Gavin, or... Hello, this is ridiculous. I mean, is this an attack? Or am I being rescued?
Can I get him? Yeah, because you're all...
Am I getting rescued? Help me.
Gavin. Who is wasting my time?
Yeah, this is the guy you took. I'm Dr. Cutter.
Oh, Cutter! How are you adjusting to our new facilities?
I'm in complete darkness. I hope this is a raid. I'm going to make sure you assholes pay for everything you've done to me and my family.
Okay. Duke, you also can hear in the line.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Do I hear
that? Yeah, yes.
Hello? This is the second in command. We have abducted who?
Me!
Who is me?
This is Dr. Anthony Cutter. I was brought in this morning and forced to work on some... Mm-hmm. Some portal? Okay. Some cutting? I don't know what even... I was working on theory alone. We were testing for, like, energy levels when something happened. I don't even know what's going on.
Ship. Identify unknown DNA signature and tell me where they are being held.
We cut the AI to save on budget, so everything you need to do is actually manual.
We don't cut on the second in commander's access to the AI, and we certainly do not.
Yeah, well, considering that they cut the budget for paying their goddamn pilot, I really don't think you got much room to complain.
I could listen to you guys.
No, we would never cut the budget on the who. Who approved cutting the budget on the pilot, and who captured someone?
That's my question,
someone?
Too, actually. Okay. That is an excellent question. I did for that goddamn genius. Okay.
This is Galvin Johnson, everybody, and I turn off there. This is Galvin Johnson, and I approved all financing and budgetary cuts and improvements, and you can take it up with me when we are fully functional.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off! Okay. I'm the commander in waiting, okay. And it's not okay. Okay.
Simon, as you're out there yelling about how you're the commander, you actually receive a call.
In waiting. Best title ever.
Okay. You start hearing another call, similar from Stuyvesant.
Hello.
They're taking pieces. They just go away. The pieces.
What do you
go away, ma'am.
I'm
in the room with everybody else, the barracks, and they just take away the pieces, ma'am. Sorry, I forgot your name. Take away the pieces, sir.
pieces of what?
Sir.
What was that?
Hmm? We're just a random security guard. Stuyvesant. Yeah, in the barracks.
My character, since we're in a separate room, as you guys are arguing, suddenly you realize that he hasn't been heard from for a while, and as you look towards the room, you notice there's a slight shimmer maybe of emergency lighting coming from a pried open door from the lab leading into the hallway, and Dr. Anthony Cutter is booking it. He's out of there.
All right, so...
Duke, in a strange... twist of the morning-ish. it would seem that you are more trustworthy than many folks, and may I say again that I would not approve a cut to the pilot's fees. It's simply illogical. Come here now.
All right, is that who's an moving? Order commander in waiting? Because I don't... I ain't under no one's command here.
Actually, you're under my command because I control
the person. You haven't pained me, goddammit. I ain't listened to shit you say.
I will pay you double if you'll get me off of this goddamn rock!
Okay. Cutter, as you're running up.
And
so, okay, and the social order breaks
okay,
down.
As these guys, idiots, are talking, you're running off trying to book it. And all of a sudden, you head, take a right towards what you think is the docks. And as you rush through, you notice immediately movement to your left. You stop, you look to your left, and you see, the only thing you see, right there, because you're right there in the storage facility, where they do, because, basically to create items, they have a fabric. Mm-hmm. So basically, you put in raw materials, and you can create whatever you need. Mm-hmm. It's the future. And basically, it just has future science. Yeah, basically have bits of raw material everywhere. And basically, what you see is just bits of steel and maybe coal and everything. But as you look deeper, you notice a piece of what looks like a piece of coal suddenly just move. Just roll. And also you see another flash. Like, a flash from the corner of your eye. You look to where the steel was frozen. And as you look at it, you see it seems to shift. And then just slide like a snake. And I need you to pull up a card, because something's going to happen.
Oh, that's right. We go into the card section.
Yes. So you get to choose one card automatically, because yes. You are alive, mm-hmm. and then one card for each relationship you have.
All right.
Ooh.
And I just take the top card and see if I can get it. Right?
Yes. Yep. Okay. You play the top card, and then the victim gets to try to evade.
Six.
What beats six? Like, what is a diamond? Or how does it go?
Yeah. Diamond is high suit.
Tie suit?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Diamond beats everything.
Okay, as he notices the steel slowly slithering towards him, he stumbles back towards the door, only to find it's no longer there, as if it's been moved. He sees it at the corner of his eye, completely wrong direction. He feels the steel move closer to him, and suddenly realizes the thing he's been holding, the torch, the Bunsen burner, the futurist Bunsen burner, is actually used to cut mineral. Mm-hmm. So as soon as the thing moves closer, he slices down on the steel and books it towards the...
Nice.
The door.
Nine of diamonds.
The good guy, the only good character needs to survive something. So yeah, he runs out the door, trying to continue to find, look for the docking bay, but as he runs out, he notices this is not the hall he remembered coming in.
Yeah. Duke, you're actually heading towards the main area, and you actually notice immediately someone walking towards you. And you notice you actually also notice a flash around the person. And he starts looking at you, staring, like, the pieces, they get away from you. The guy is obviously in a shoot, African-American gentleman, just staring off.
What the fuck are you on?
The pieces, they step away from you.
Yeah,
you were meant to be alive. It's the pieces that are supposed to be alive.
No,
and he starts rubbing against his...
Duke is alive, and Duke's gonna
stay alive. We were meant
to
be alive. It's the pieces of us. You notice immediately, like, a line go across his arm. And you see instantly a piece of bone shift out. And all of a sudden, it feels like feelers and legs just suddenly pierce from his bone. And basically, he seems to fall away as his bones start ripping from his body.
And Duke's just gonna go in the other direction.
We're gonna roll a card to see if that happens.
Huh? Roll the card, sir.
Yes, may I draw my cards?
Yes.
It was a mash.
Okay.
It was a monster mash.
A monster mash.
And flip. Oh, you gotta be kidding.
Let's see. Can I beat that? Yes, I can.
A two of diamonds versus a four of diamonds.
An insect made of essentially bone, calcium, rushes at you. Feelers and legs and piercing mouths peering all over its bony body, rushing at you. What do you do?
Running in the opposite direction. Duh. This is a space station. There's corridors that go all over the fucking place.
And you still hear the guy's voice scream like, the pieces are coming after you.
Duke is, he's the sort of person that'd be armed, correct?
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna take a couple pot shots at this freaky insect alien.
You do shoot at the pieces. And the pieces themselves form into creatures and rush after you.
Yep, running.
Okay.
All right, what do we got?
Okay.
So
Simon.
Too many survivors.
Okay. All right. I got it. Simon, you're there. You're there in the office trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
Both of these guys are in the same office.
Are both in the same office.
Standing resolute.
And as you see another flash Another fleshy flash.
Flesh.
And basically, you open, like a burning within your eyes. You open it, and you notice the room suddenly very different. Like, it's still your command center, but it just seems like different posters. Different, the sign for the, what's it, the United Federation of Planets changed. Yeah. Seems to be like the United Territories. You look around, wondering what the hell's going on. And you look, turn around,
what
and you notice...
What the hell is going on?
You turn around to the back, and you notice you had a wall of trophies. And they're still there.
They're mine.
Except the trophies are attached to pieces of other of people.
Those are not mine.
You know...
There's actually a picture of you in the corner, taking the head of someone else, ripping their faces off. And you hear a knock on the door. Overlord! Message!
I've had about enough of this horseshit today.
Overlord! Message!
What's the message?
She cocks her gun.
Okay.
She...
Okay, gun off them. The wall okay. That is hanging.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey,
okay.
If reality in is going to recreate itself, I'm going to recreate too.
Okay. In comes a burly gentleman. He has his normal spacesuit, but also covered in his prizes, basically scalps of his enemies.
Ooh.
Looking at you, he's like, Commander, Overlord, we have intruders. What are your orders?
What are the intruders?
Him.
Okay. Okay, yeah, he's right, because, basically, you just look at...
No, it's funnier if it's the second in command.
I know, but because I just realized you would look different, so he would... Right. Okay, be like, come over... Are you alright, sir? You look... strange.
I look the same as I always have, and now tell me, what is the nature of these intruders?
He looks at you, and now you realize he's assessing you. And he looks at his... He looks at your chair. Covetously.
Hey now, buddy.
Sir! Let's roll.
Oh.
Alright. Take your cards.
So pull...
what do I do?
How many relationships does she have?
Two.
Mm-hmm. So you get two cards. Two.
So she gets three cards, actually. Oh. She gets one
special. Oh, automatically. Right. You've got me.
Can you beat the three of diamonds?
Yes, I think
you
did.
Nope.
It's okay.
All right.
Nope, no, stop.
Stop. Okay, stop. Stop.
Just play whatever beats that.
Which would be only a higher diamond.
Yes.
Oh. Even though I have a king?
Yep, because suit matters.
Okay. And since you're also in the room, I want you to roll as well.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Did I ruin a bunch of things by showing you three cards?
Three.
Beat a higher diamond. Diamond is the highest you can get.
Yep.
If you don't have a diamond.
Nice.
Okay. He's beating a diamond. Did you beat a diamond?
I have no diamonds.
Okay, so you just
a 7 or a 5 or anything.
Do you have
a numerical higher?
King?
7. Put the 7.
The 7?
Yep.
But she loses, right?
Yeah.
Not the 9?
Okay.
Wait, she loses?
Yeah, because suit matters. Diamonds always beat everything.
Oh. I know. That's
okay.
So good.
Okay. All right, so basically the warrior looks at you, takes out a knife from his side, and starts rushing at you. You aim your shotgun, shoot, it hits him, but he just takes it, rushes forward, takes the shotgun, smashes you against the head, and puts the knife straight into your throat, and starts cutting. Okay, I'm assuming you rush out?
Yeah, okay. I run out, because...
Okay, Gavin rushes out of the door screaming, and immediately, you're back, you realize the walls are the same attack you've always done. You turn around, the room's the same, and you see no body.
Okay, see?
That's the same.
All right, everybody grab their cards.
You're a horrible person, Jesus.
All right, so shuffle the cards again. Everybody put their cards away.
Can I shuffle?
Yeah, go ahead, shuffle if you want.
And player cards.
Player cards, give it to the ones who survived. Okay, who do we got so far? We got three only. We have only three left.
Oops.
There they are.
Oh, okay.
Okay, right. Okay, we have Kane the Authoritarian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Lana the Nervous Engineer is still alive.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay, and so grab whoever you want. So we got Anthony Cutter, Duke, Eat Shit and Fuck All.
Gavin.
I am working with Gavin until the day I die.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I would like a turn at that guy.
Lana, engineer. Kane, authoritarian.
Okay. Kane, the authoritarian. Works for me.
Is this
Cutter, the guy who just escaped?
Let's keep Cutter going.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
Yes.
It's a weird mixture of everything. Taste, sweat. Sound. Something up?
I think we forgot a mechanic.
Alright.
That is helpful for us. Because you're supposed to get survivor points.
Oh, every time they survive a scene, you get 1 point, and you can use that later on.
Oh, right.
To get more,
yes.
So every time. So
you would get 1 point because you survived.
Yeah, anybody who just survived that last scene, Gavin gets 1 point.
So Duke.
Cutter gets 1 point. Duke gets 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, for each survivor point you have, you may then discard a card and draw a new one.
Yeah.
Okay,
ready? And you get a survivor point if you survive that scene, but you have to be played during that scene, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. It's a weird...
the doctor was in that last scene and survived.
It's a weird mixture of taste, sound, sight, even the touch of anything, really. The world that you were in, the entire space station you are in, is a continuously shifting area. As the camera moves down the hall, it's as if it's almost like a Rubik's Cube, transforming and splitting, turning and shifting every which way. The camera itself looks kind of like a lost survivor trying to escape, turning left, turning right, getting lost, falling into the darkness, finding holes, being closed in, being trapped. And finally, it lands on Kane, sitting in a barracks surrounded by bodies, all of them in some state of decomposition. Some of them have bugs ripping out of their... Dead bugs now. Ripping out of their bodies. Some look like they've been split in half. Some look like they were fused together. But only Kane stands there, holding a smoking barrel, breathing heavily as the last one falls.
What the fuck is going on?
Kane... You see the door finally that had not been there before because, my God, you tried to get to it earlier. Mm-hmm. All your men tried to get to it when that thing came in, suddenly appears, and it opens up like normal. Nothing but hallway. Flickering lights. Emergency lights. No lights. Emergency lights. Bright lights. Emergency lights. Darkness.
I slowly step through into the hallway. Shotgun at the ready.
Nothing.
Is anyone out there? Anyone!
Dad? You hear from to your left? Nancy, the nervous lieutenant, security lieutenant, stands there. Your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dad? You okay?
Nancy?
Hey, Mom wants us to... Mom wanted me to get you. She said that... she kind of looks sad and she just looks up. She said that you always beat her, and that's why she's going to kill herself in the tub. And then she just turns away and starts running down the hall towards... You remember? And then suddenly, the entire environment snaps. And it's a different hall, carpeted. Walls not made of steel, but of cement. This was your old barracks on Earth. And it's almost as if you're living in a memory, and you know what day this is. This is the day you discover your wife.
No.
Well, Nancy discovers her first.
I run to the bathroom as quick as I can. I gotta stop her.
You're running, you're pounding, lights are flickering on. Occasionally you see glimpses of steel, but you're just so focused on this memory, you burst into your room. And it's not even you burst through the front door, but it doesn't lead to the living room. Like, your memory tells you it's just the bathroom. And inside the bathtub, you see Nancy, just her back as she's staring down at a corpse sitting in bloody water. A lifeless corpse.
Honey, I'm so...
She and Nancy's just facing you. You see her back.
I'm so sorry, Nancy.
Are you sorry? Were you ever sorry?
Yeah, you hear a little bit of the anger reach your voice, but she still hasn't turned around.
Nancy, I take out my hand and try to place it on her shoulder.
You turn her, and as you place it on your hand, you turn her around, but it's as if... As she turns around, it's just the back of her head over and over again. She just continues as she spins. It's just her. You know, no matter how much you work it, she's always facing the back of you.
Kane, for the last time, we have a good job for you. If
you'll just leave your family alone. For God's sakes, they're on Earth. They can't help you. We can help you make real money. Take care of your family. What do you want more? To see your family starve, or to see your family thrive? Thriving is in space.
You turn around, you see the marshal standing there.
Space.
Just take my hand. Agree to disagree on any concepts of allegiances and just focus on the money. Your daughter needs you right now. She lost her mother. Don't make her lose her future. Heck, if you need it, we can either offer her a job. Wouldn't that be nice? She's always wanted to be in space, right? Right. Just take my hand. Yep. Okay. How many guards do you get? The guy offers you the hand?
1, 2, 4. Wow. All
right. And I get the roll.
Okay.
So, hearts. Beat a 4 of hearts. All right. So, does diamonds beat hearts?
Yes, diamonds beats everything.
Okay. And what beats hearts?
Only diamonds beat hearts, actually.
Okay. Oof. All right, then. So, I'm just going to throw this sucker.
You slowly reach out, you pause as if the memory doesn't make sense anymore. And slowly, you look around you, it starts unraveling. Okay. As if, not like it's melting or molting, it's like a Rubik's Cube being turned to the other side, shifting, every pixel is shifting, until suddenly, you're just standing in the hallway, silent, and you realize the gun's against your head. And you lower it. Okay, who do we have left?
Let's kill some people.
Okay. We've got Dr. Cutter.
All right. Dr. Cutter, you are booking it down the hallway. The lights have finally suddenly switch on, switch off, switch on. As you turn the corner, you slam right into... Who do we got?
Duke.
Yeah! Fuck off!
Okay, you guys finally collide into each other. And, You finally, you're the first, the only people that you've seen in a while.
You aren't going to put me in manacles again, are you?
You aren't crazy and murderous, are you?
What? No, what? No! No!
All right, look. We're gonna get the fuck off of this ship.
That's all I've wanted to do since you put me on this ship.
Once you get my ship running.
Wait, what? I'm not an engineer.
You're a doctor.
Yes, a doctor, not an engineer.
Duke grabs the doctor by the shoulder. I'm pretty sure you got a better chance of getting my ship going again than I do.
The screen suddenly appears in front of the wall in front of you. Yes, a screen. Not supposed to be there. And suddenly, the doctor sees right in front of you Duke breaking into his apartment, gunning down his wife, gunning down his child. And both of you look at each other at realization that you've seen each other, recognize each other, know each other exactly as if you're both in each other's head. Both of you pull a card. The winner gets to... And both of you look down as you both realize you have guns in your hands.
Whoa. Okay.
Nice. So, nice. Both of you, both of you, how many cards you get? Three?
Three.
Angela, you get three. And Duke, how many do you have?
Oh, yeah, I get three. Is this three or four? No, this is three. Rivalry, yeah. 1, 2, 3.
So, but you also get one because you're alive.
All right, so you get four.
I get four.
Mm-hmm. Player, Angela, you get to go first. Throw down. I'm going to actually throw down a card.
Throw down one because you're the killer. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I'm making you guys kill each other, though.
So. But throw it down because maybe you got some flavor.
So you're right. Okay. I'm throwing it down. Beat that. Both have to beat it. Whoever loses, I'm going to keep on throwing it down, and if you can't beat it, then you die.
Oh, shit.
Okay, you both survive. Okay, next scene. Five. Beat the five of dying, or five of hearts.
I love this shit.
Oh, wait. Is it too late?
Nope, too late.
Too late.
Leave it there. I get confused
so
about
five
the
of hearts. Can you beat it?
Can you beat it? Two of diamonds. Beat it, Angela.
Nope.
Suddenly, you...
Why does a good guy have to die?
Because it's that type of story.
Fire away as if you both raise your gun, and bam. Dead as a doornail.
And may I say first, man, you got shit for luck.
Boom! And one more tear, because
The stuff.
Yeah. You say, just for fun, as you say, you got shit for luck. You turn around, and right in front of you, just as you start walking away, hole. So just see if you can beat this once. Queen of Diamonds.
Oh. Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts.
And nothing beats hearts except for diamonds.
No diamonds. Diamonds beat hearts.
You have a survivor point. You can discard one card and draw a new one.
So is it not important what the face is, but what the suit is?
I think suit is of first importance, and then the only thing that.
So could I be that with a two of diamonds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's one of four chance. Oh,
weird. As you say, you have shit for luck. Shoot him. You chuck as you walk away, and suddenly you're falling into a void. Deep into the atmosphere, deep into the non-existent atmosphere, deep into the asteroid until you hit the void of space. You freeze, you hit a rock, explode, and dead. Okay.
Well done. Okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom.
And one more. Okay, we have two survivors.
Oh, we do still have two survivors? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Angela?
So that's...
No, I'm out.
I know. Okay, we have two more less survivors. And then we have three. Yeah, we have two survivors. So we have
Kane,
Gavin. Okay, so
are those all the people we have left?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we've triggered endgame.
All right, let's kill everyone.
We'll kill two of them.
Hmm.
Kill two of them.
Oh, okay. Let's kill almost everyone.
Lana has not been part of this story at all.
Oh wow, she's been actually been an engineer trying to fix whatever is wrong with the system.
Yeah, she was in an introductory scene.
Yeah.
She has no idea what's going on, actually. Yeah, she's just been working hard.
Obviously, she has to be the final girl.
Oh, of course.
I think that has to be the meta plot. Uh-huh. Out of game, keep Lana alive.
Yeah. She fixes the ship, the space rays leave satisfied, and she is alone.
And, whatever happened... Hilarious, whatever happened to the ship, fixed itself before she went out, and she doesn't know what the fuck happened.
There's just... And her room has been redecorated.
Okay, you guys can actually, I have to go to the restroom, so you guys can actually pay, just three of you, so. Who wants to play Gavin?
I guess I'll do Gavin.
Play Gavin?
David might fight you for it.
All right. Lana?
Gavin, yeah.
Who wants to play? Okay.
I want to die mercilessly, so I'll be, no, actually, Dana probably is going to survive. We'll see.
Well, you all have to play one of them, so who wants to play? Lana, Gavin, Kane.
Okay.
Angela, you get to be the narrator. You get to play Gavin.
Or not.
I'm going to do the wicked finance.
All right.
My turn at the financier.
Uh-oh.
It's on.
Oh, you're going to play Gavin? Oh, boy. Oh,
Kenny just usurped you.
Mm-hmm.
Surely I did.
Yeah. All right. I am narrating. So we've got... Gavin, the wicked financier who is trying to get to safety. We have Lana, the nervous engineer, who's been chilling out, max and relaxing, all cool. And
Kane, the authoritarian security.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And was Kane the one that just had the hallucination of...
Yes.
Okay.
And he survived it. Yeah.
Okay. But he survived it. Good job, Kane. Good guy, Kane.
Good guy, Kane.
Good guy, Kane.
Okay.
Let's see. Where can I have the three of you somewhat close together for something to kill you all at once?
Ejection pods?
Yes! Oh, yeah. Yes! You know what? Shit is hitting the fan. Weird shit is hitting the fan. The three of you have all independently but wisely come to the conclusion that the station is lost. Gavin, yes, this was quite a financial sinkhole, but at some point your life is worth more than the company's money.
Mm-hmm.
Lana, you were losing control of various sections of the ship one by one, and there's not enough duct tape to keep it together anymore.
Seeing that she's not been part of this adventure, she's been sleeping the entire time. What's up? I was going to go to the escape pod. I'm tired of
this. I need some space to myself.
Nice.
And Kane, after the very disturbing experience with memories of your wife and your daughter and being approached by Dunny, you've also decided to cut your losses and get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of you meet at the escape pods.
Okay.
There's only two escape pods left.
All right.
These are so single person pods. So
on, on three, can we all give a yelled scream as we run to each other? On one, two, three.
Yeah!
What are you doing here?
Well, I was planning to leave.
Well, what? I thought you were dead.
Well, I'm not. So I'm going to take this escape pod and get the hell out of here. Did you just drop the beat on us?
No, all you guys were like arguing. Yeah, I was mean, like, just that shit.
Jumped into the fucking escape pod.
Hey, I look.
Let's all draw a card to see if Gavin gets in the escape pod. Is that okay?
Yes.
All
right.
All right. So I'm gonna take. I'm gonna draw one card. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, you have one.
You have just the one.
So because
just,
you start, no, you have two because you're.
This no, no, just the one.
We're just drawing. High card decides whether or not Gavin gets to. If Gavin draws the highest card, then Gavin automatically gets to go into the escape pod.
Oh.
If one of you two draw the highest card, you have the option.
Let's
of
all reveal
stopping
at
Gavin.
The same time. Sorry. Okay. Reveal.
One, two, three. Flip.
Dope.
Oh.
Ace of Hearts wins it. So Lana.
Yep.
Lil Lana.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Is the one that notices Gavin making a break for the escape pod.
So Gavin, behind her back, races for the escape pod. And she has a gun pointed at her from, what's
Kane.
Her name?
Kane.
Kane. And she reaches into a control console, rips out the interior, and lifts down a switch, and a door slams in front of Gavin, and boom!
If I
Let me remind you.
If I may, slams on Gavin, in fact, killing him through severing in half.
Awesome.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Go.
Fuck you, mother!
As I look at the pieces of Gavin, I look at Lana, I'm like, twitching, I'm like, well, two escape pods now. Nice job.
Is it a good time to mention I wanted union?
Probably a bit. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right. You take that one, I'll take this one.
Okay.
Let's go.
As you both try to enter the escape pods.
Because the murderer still gets to murder.
Yes, yes. I mean, come on.
Of course.
Okay. This is not the final people.
The final group.
There's only one
okay.
that can possibly survive.
Yes.
We clearly have a penchant to play that 80s game.
Okay.
I just need to figure something out to do with it.
Yep.
The lights.
Lost Boys.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Really? Lost Boys?
Wow.
Thou shalt not
fall. Little sister. Wow, that was eerie. That was.
My, I am.
All right. It's in an all too familiar scenario now. The lights begin to flicker. The walls no longer seem solid. You reach for the entrance to the escape pod, but suddenly your hand can't quite find purchase on it. Every time you feel like you should have caught it, it slips out of your hands.
Oh, I like that. Can't quite find purchase.
Yeah, I like that too.
And my best eloquence comes out after midnight.
Nice.
That's
after
how I
roll. After your third drink. Edit that out.
No.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
that was right on the nip.
You don't hit the nip like that, dude.
For those of you playing at home, I'm wearing suspenders. And then Penny decided to be funny.
Sorry, nerd.
Okay.
All right, so what do we got?
Okay. This is vengeance from middle school bra snapping, isn't it? The psychedelic acid trip is throwing you off balance. Suddenly those little insect pieces start crawling along the floor. And you start realizing these aren't just random pieces. You're seeing things on these pieces you recognize. Name tags, insignias, rank signs. These insects that are crawling towards you are made of the people that have already died on this godforsaken asteroid. And they are crawling with alarming speed, slowly swarming together towards both of you. Draw your cards to see who gets
Good God.
Eaten by a swarm of bone bugs.
Bone bugs!
One, two,
can't get
enough. Four, five.
Wow.
Damn.
Damn.
Yep, because I have four plus the fact that I'm alive.
Bonus. And I think Lana gets one.
Technically two.
Two.
Two. Oh. One, so I have two. A friendship with somebody.
You had a friendship.
It still counts even after they've died.
Okay.
Wait, shouldn't she have more, though, for, like, no, multiple rounds? She hasn't survived.
Been playing, though. No one's played her.
Oh. Yep.
So it's weird no one picked her. She was forgotten. Seriously, she was sleeping.
All right. The insects start swarming over both of your bodies. You fall into the ground, unable to stand as the deck is bucking beneath your feet. Mm-hmm. And both of you are just covered with the swarm of bugs. Who can beat it two clubs?
Go for it, young people. I don't know, maybe I might not survive that, let's be honest. Is clubs lowest?
I'm pretty sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, then I'm just going to
Club. Yeah, anything can win at this point.
Alright.
Oh my god, Lana moves and tries to shake off the creatures, but then slapping her body, trying to get the things off of her, hits her thermal generator, which keeps her warm in the deadness of space.
And brings the Ace of Spades, the dead man's hand.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so you've both been able to... The bugs are picking and biting at your skin. Your suits are, you're finding, are beginning to unravel as these insects try to get through. But with Lana's activation of her thermal generator, slowly you start hearing the hissing of bugs.
Yeah, you take that.
As they are repelled from the heat.
Oh, can we all do a bug repelled sound on three? One, two, three. All of us need to get our lungs checked. Okay, go on.
And the bugs redouble their efforts upon Kane.
Oh, redouble Kane.
Six of hearts.
Seven of hearts.
God damn it.
Oh! You start one more time?
No, actually, I have to alternate between people that's until okay. I can fucking kill someone. As the deck continues to shift and churn beneath both of you, Lana, suddenly you feel that there's, in fact, no deck underneath you. And with a shriek of metal ripping, suddenly there is just a pit underneath you. Can you survive the pit of space? Jack of Hearts.
Oof. Not likely. Is there anything else I can draw?
Do you have a relationship with Kane?
What's your relationship?
Nope, Simon.
Nope. Right. All right. And no, there is nothing you can do at this
Four
point.
Four of spades.
Kane, you push wipe these bugs from your eyes just in time to see the deck splitting open from underneath Lana.
As I may. As Lana doubles backwards, walking backwards, see, I told you, Kane, you're too cruel to people, and you would pay the price!
Sorry, what was that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Lana, the nervous engineer.
We hardly knew you.
Oh, Lana, we hardly do, yeah.
Gah!
All right. Now, technically, whoever has the most dead characters in front of them gets to narrate the final round. On the other hand, I would also nominate, since there was no character left for Billy to play, that he can narrate what happens to Kane as Kane attempts to make it into the escape pod.
Okay.
Does he succeed?
Kane stumbles into the escape pod, slapping at himself, slapping at the controls, when suddenly he hits the heater. Hot air pours through the vents. The bug creatures screaming in pain, clearly heats the answer. He cranks up the heat as much as he can, closes it behind him, watches them sizzle, burn, and pop before flopping back in the seat and slapping at the controls. The escape pod flies off into space, sailing into the darkness, leaving only Kane to sit there, breathing heavily. Breathing heavily. Breathing heavily. The screen goes dark. 2 weeks later appears on the screen. Suddenly, the UN vessel shines a light on the the capsule floating in space. You hear from the radio, it's like, we have, we found something. We found something. We think it's part of the, Captain, we think it might be debris that survived the explosion. The course they bring in the capsule. The docking bay is lined with soldiers as the capsule is set down and one of the captains, another security force walks forward, opens it up, and there's just Kane sitting, staring straight ahead as the doors open. The security officer shines a light on his eyes, looks back towards the captain and says, I don't know if he's there. And suddenly Kane reaches out, grabs him by the shoulder, and from behind Kane, you see something on his neck, something pulsating, something familiar, something that looked like the very beginning of this, that creature that had connected to Dundee, that cord that is now moving down his back, connected to the actual pod itself. And Kane looks towards the surprised officer, looks around and says, oh goody, we found another place. And suddenly the cord rips out from the escape pod, slams into the deck, and then the doors of this shuttle pod closes. The lights turn off, and screams echo.
Dinner.
Dinner.
Nice.
Psychedelic dudes. That was a little crazy. I mean, that was a little bit different because we didn't really have a monster like last time. We didn't have that. We were really working with forces outside of really perception. I think it made it a little harder. But I thought it was a fun time.
It was great. Yeah.
Definitely. I wish I would have had a round where I could have killed people, though. I didn't get a killing round.
I'm sorry. I love the fact that we could just make up how we murder people because there's like so many different dimensions, so many ways of like just murder.
Multiple dimension murder. Can I have the cards?
Okay.
I want to get you all the cards.
Yeah. So, good God, that was Wait.
We almost forgot Kane. Kane did die at the end of that. So
characters always end up like dying. at the end.
So, Angela, your actual round was long. like people kept on like.
I know. It's like, God damn it, die.
die.
Why won't you die? You were down
the worst cards. You're like. Four of hearts, beat that. Oh, anything beats that? Okay,
I know, the two of clubs. It's like, yeah, who can beat me?
Nice.
Who can beat me?
I think we need to, I need to check the rules again, because I kind of liked it when it was more like...
Yeah, I mean,
a seven of hearts should beat a six of diamonds. But a six of hearts should beat a six of diamonds. You know, I think that's when class should be important. I think we might have been making a mistake there.
Well, I here is literally what it says. And obviously we are friends with the writer, so we can always hit him up tomorrow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here is how to determine whether a card is higher than another. Ace is high, deuce is low. Bloody beats black, stabby beats round, which is diamonds over hearts over spades over clubs.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather read that as, you know, the number of the card is the higher the card, the better. But if, you know, you have a tie, diamonds beats hearts beats clubs beats spades.
Okay. If I may, a suggestion, if you had it behave more like a typical card game, maybe there are these rules where you have your master suit, but say you can pair. Or say you can have a run where somebody puts down, say, you know, a three of clubs and somebody puts down a two of diamonds, maybe ace can be high or low in that one case where ace can work as a wild card, whereas usually the suit would matter.
It's supposed to be just pretty much, you know, one card at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, bam, bam, we know immediately whether that person survives or not.
I think, I honestly think, I see where you get it. I think the rules are probably, you first decide who wins. By either ace, deuce or ace, three ace, whatever the higher card is. But then if you get a tie, it's...
Okay, that's fair. And
I bet that's
that
how
it might
read.
Be how we played it last time, but we were drinking last time, so I can't remember it too clearly.
We were drinking this time as well, I think.
I think
next time we should... I think okay. If that's not the case, I prefer that way. Because last time, it was just felt a little bit more fun when it's like, I beat, you know, like, this one, if anybody got a diamond, it's like, well, I don't got a diamond, I'm fucked.
Huh.
I think we messed up, honestly. I think
I'm sorry.
I think just reading that, I think it is the number of the card is first, and then if you tie, then you go by.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we read this really quickly. I mean, like, and like I said, we don't have the power of alcohol.
And it is it is a 27-page game, so I understand the need for brevity.
Yes.
No, rules. So,
I mean, that was quite fast for any kind of.
No, well, it's supposed to be very fast. It's supposed to be like an hour and an hour and a half at most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even if we read the pickup game. Where you've got an hour or so to kill with your friends and you want to tell a horror story.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think it matters if the rules are messed up a little bit. It's all about just telling the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we still had a very fun story. Yeah, we definitely did. There was plenty of carnage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly, in that last scene, the two of clubs is going to get beaten no matter what.
Yeah,
the stoop didn't matter at that point. It's like, yes, you all survived that round, and let's go again. Mm-hmm. All right, four of hearts. You're still going to be able to beat me no matter what.
I wonder how Lana was able to get through because she we had to choose the four lowest people, and she was like the fifth one that had one person in there. I was like, but okay, we had a four. She just happened to be the one that survived, and then no one ever picked her again. How did is there supposed to be a rule to basically make us play her?
Not that I've seen.
I was just surprised. I was like, oh, she barely's been in this the entire time, and then she was the last one. I don't know. But okay.
But that would be a sort of negative for her because she doesn't have a chance to build.
No. I was just story wise. It's kind of surprised. It's like it'd be like imagine if this was a story and suddenly like, oh, you're here still.
It's kind of like I think we were enjoying some of the already established characters. I mean, obviously wanted to keep going back to Duke and to Gavin. So there was because we wanted to see those people's stories. We had to keep going back to them. So of course, someone has to fall by the wayside.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it makes sense that some like certain characters fall quiet, and then at the end, they have like lesser chances.
No, like I said, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it a lot.
Yes, this game is obviously a Fandible favorite.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
Okay,
so bring us home. Monsieur Daddy.
Monsieur Daddy. Perfect.
I just love seeing.
Okay. This is Jesus Rodriguez of the Fandible.com role-playing podcast. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.